Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Good morning. It is Monday, February 17th. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. Joining me this morning is Sheridan Memorial Hospital Chief Development Officer Cody Sinclair, Director of Philanthropy Liz Dearcourt, and Director of Donor Relations Ada Kirvin. Good morning. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Floyd.
Good morning.
How has your 2025 been so far, Ada? I'll start
with
you. a little on the chilly side
asking.
This year, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get used to it and get up and going every day.
Yeah,
so it's good.
After last winter, I think we all just got too used to the nice weather.
Well, it brought it on now. We're headed into it, and it's all good, especially if you love winter and the snow and skiing and...
That's my wife.
All those things.
Yeah, I think she actually prayed for all of this, so we can blame her.
Mm-hmm.
How about you? How is your 2025 so far?
It's been great. It's been wintry for sure, but like you said, getting out and enjoying the snow is important, so we've been getting up to Antelope Butte when we can.
Fantastic.
And yeah, so it's been good, but I know spring, we're all eager for spring to be right around the corner.
My wife and I, we went cross-country skiing for the first time. And I think I found a new hobby.
It's fun.
What a fun little thing to do. I've always kind of wanted to do it, but she finally kicked me hard enough. I actually got out and did it.
Yeah.
How about you, Cody? How's your year going?
No, it's really good. I'm glad that we have the snowpack up in the mountains. We'll be happy this spring and summer that the snow is there. But yeah, likewise, my wife and I enjoy cross-country skiing. We went up to Blacktooth Park and skied a little this weekend, so it was nice.
How long have you been doing it?
I think probably my parents strapped skis on my feet when I was really little, and I didn't appreciate the going out and getting cold in the winter, but it's been a fun family event for us, so it's nice.
You're primarily downhill?
Yes.
Yeah.
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 We have three girls, and I don't know. We've never really introduced them to cross country because... That wasn't, what we grew up doing, but we should, because you can do it just right around town.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it.
That's kind of, I went snowboarding, I want to say it was 2016, and after that bruise on my butt took more than a month to disappear, I decided, I don't think I'm a snowboarder. I think it's time I leave that to the younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, for those who may not know, what is the Sheridan Memorial Hospital Foundation?
Well, it's a fantastic organization that's been here in Sheridan for many years, since the 70s, and started as a way to receive gifts for healthcare and support healthcare for our community. And it continues to grow, and I think over these last 25, 30 years, it's just remarkable what has happened in a rural community like ours, and knowing that we have the health services that we have here, and that is based on this wonderful, generous community we have. It really is.
I receive a lot of doctors in here from Sheridan Memorial. I get to talk to these professionals, mm-hmm. these individuals who are probably some of the best in their field. And I often wonder, how do we get so lucky, to have individuals like this in a place like Sheridan, Wyoming, not that we're obscure or too far out of the way, but we are a smaller city in Wyoming.
We are. It's a lifestyle choice, I think, that people make to come here and practice and be a part of the whole system. And fortunately, we're supported in so many other ways, and the leadership that we've had through the years of the Board of Trustees and the county commissioners and our leadership and CEOs have really worked hard to develop a strong community care system. And I think that's what we're continuing to do today and why we're here. We get to talk about some really great things today. But we've seen... I used to work with Roman Scatula a lot, and we would go for a drive, and he would go by the hospital and just say, without philanthropy, our hospital would look the way it did in 1954 when it was built. So we have wonderful services here, and our emergency department, the Welch Cancer Center, the Watt Dialysis Center, our new ICU, and now all of the things that are happening to bring behavioral health to the community.
Oh, yeah.
But really, those are unique and really strong areas that most smaller communities wouldn't be able to appreciate.
And these remote, well, I guess I shouldn't say remote, we'll just call them satellite clinics that are opening up. You know, we've got quite a few of them now. That's another thing that kind of really shocks me, where usually it's almost like a competitive thing, where you got the major hospital, then maybe you got a doctor who's got an office off to the side, whereas in this situation, everybody works together. So if I've got to go to the hospital to find more of a specialist, to find more, you know, get something really taken care of, that was found by my family doctor, who also works with Sheridan Memorial Hospital, and all the communication's already done.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be no send-over or anything like that. The internal computer system takes care of that for all of us, and I think that's... Cody, have you seen anything like this somewhere else?
You know, I think rural healthcare is just so challenging, and Ada said it well, without the support of our community, we really don't have the services in Sheridan that we have and access that we have. I think that's a really big thing, is that people need access to care. And so that's a part of what you're seeing with Sheridan Memorial Hospital as well. And Mike talks about it and has been talking about it for a long time, but I think recently went to the chamber and talked about, you know, what we're seeing at Sheridan Memorial Hospital to make sure that our healthcare system has the services that are needed for this community. They're here when people need them, that people can get in a timely way, and understanding that, you know, the healthcare nationally is really competitive, and there are really big healthcare systems that are kind of taken over in the region, and Sheridan, because of the support and because of, again, I think the leadership and planning and our community, we've been able to provide a lot of those services and stay independent. And so making those decisions for what things are important for our community, you know, and things like having cardiology care here makes a big difference.
Yeah.
And having OBGYN care here, where you're hearing more and more about places that are really maternity deserts, they call them. And so it's really, you know, remarkable that we have a community that sees the importance of healthcare and then supports it.
You know, the term maternity desert, one that just kind of shocks you. Here we are in 2025. And we've got to use such terminology. Mm-hmm. Liz, when you talk to people when they want to give, do they share with you, I guess the question is, the values that are shared among the community are shared with Sheridan Memorial Hospital? Is that like a big reason why they give the way that they do and contribute to the foundation the way that they do? Because I think the word values gets tossed around a lot, but it really is the foundation, playing words here, of who we are as a community.
Yeah. No, I would definitely say so. You know, being newer to the foundation myself, it's been remarkable to see how many donors who have been donating for, you know, 30 plus years. And that's been that reputation of the foundation and the relationships that have been built with practitioners and the staff at the hospital and, you know, this group of people. It's just been remarkable. And really, it's, you know, sometimes donors have a passion that they're really, you know, they're really wanting to give towards.
Cancer research.
Absolutely.
Things like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. And then other times it's, you know, they're very open to, you know, just leaving it to the unrestricted, to where they trust that the funds will be used for the right place.
Ada, when the foundation was founded, I don't know how much you have pertaining to its history, but was this just a group of concerned individuals who gathered around and said, you know what, we see the tide
of what's coming as far as healthcare and the changes that need to take place, and we better handle this ourselves.
You know, actually, it was a group of volunteers who worked as trustees of the hospital who really saw the need and I think wanted to understand more about how philanthropy could help build healthcare for the community. So they stepped up and created this nonprofit in 1976 and became members of the first board. And since that time, I think we've had over 50 board members that have just served and done such great work to share the mission and the vision and all those values you're talking about. And it just has continued to grow. So when I started at the foundation in the 90s, we really, that was the first time we had a individual staff, you know, coming together to work just for the sole purpose of fundraising. Before that time, I think it had been physicians and leadership and just some major foundations from our community that help all of the nonprofits that are here in Sheridan. I mean, I really feel that that's what makes Sheridan such a great place to live. And you were talking about physicians, and we do have outstanding physicians. I think that people choose this community because of the resources that we have and the wonderful programs we have, and not only just us at the hospital, but the college and the YMCA and the YO Theater. We have the arts. We have faith-based community programs, and they're all supported by people in this community.
You know, I think about what people are really looking for when they kind of decide where they want to settle or where they're going to call home. Security. And not just security in the law enforcement type, mm-hmm. but if something happens to me or my family or I get sick, where's the closest city that I'm going to have to go to?
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of folks here, because of the expansions that are taking place at Sheridan Memorial Hospital, well, I don't have to go anywhere. After surgery, I don't have to go anywhere. I can do it right here. My family's not going to have to drive 2-3
right.
hours to come see me.
Right.
So that's a sense of security.
We really saw that through the transitional care project that we just, it's been mm-hmm. open for 2 years now. And I think families have been brought together through that unit. And day after day, we talk to people who are so thankful and grateful that their loved one didn't have to go to Casper or to Billings for rehab, that they were actually able to, you know, stay here and do their, I mean, sometimes it can be up to 100 days that a patient can stay in transitional care. So as you can imagine, if you were in another community, that would really be a hardship for your family.
Especially with the roads right now.
Well,
if you had to go
yes.
over and see your mom or
yeah.
your dad
yeah.
in this kind of, you know, or God forbid your child, and having to drive 2-3 hours through these types of conditions, and we've all done it. We've all got that dedication. We would do it. But it's good to know that
mm-hmm.
you don't
And
have
there are
to.
Times when we still have patients go, you know, to a larger facility that might need a higher level of care, but we're doing a great job of taking care of people here.
I think so. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got to take a break, but Cody, you and I have talked about that transitional care, you know, for mm-hmm. quite a while. I kind of already know the answer, but are you pleased with the way all of that went from beginning to end?
Absolutely. We're so pleased. And it really starts with, again, our community supported that. You know, there was so many donors, over 1,000 donors that came together, and we hear the again, that feedback that Ada talks about so grateful to be here and to care for. We had 8 rooms before, and now there's 20, and today there's 19 patients in transitional care.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's 11, you know, patients that wouldn't have had a place here really to go. And so it's a phenomenal level of care here for our community, and the team that provides that care is just exceptional.
All right. On that, my man James has given me the signal. We're going to have more with Sheridan Memorial Hospital right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan. Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. With me this morning is Sheridan Memorial Hospital Chief Development Officer,
Cody Sinclair, the Director of Philanthropy, Liz Dearcorn, and the Director of Donor Relations, Ada Kervin. You know, that word philanthropy, it's always been tough for me to say.
I can relate.
It's one of the, yeah. No, all right. Now, we're talking about the foundation. We've gone over some of the accomplishments that the foundation has done through the years and the mission, the foundation of the foundation. Now, what are the primary fundraising techniques that the foundation uses for its projects?
I was waiting for you to, I thought you might have an idea about that. we have all kinds of things that we do, but mostly just working as a team and working with our board to develop events and then to work on campaigns. As projects come up with the board of trustees of the hospital, they'll come to the foundation and ask us for support. So we try to come up with creative ways to talk about what we're going to be doing and why it's important and why people would want to be involved.
Yeah. Liz, a lot of the times when people sit back and they think about being a contributor to such things, they think, well, geez, I just don't have that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those situations where it doesn't have to be much, does it?
It doesn't have to be, you know, even money. We appreciate all of our volunteers that come in, and we have a community group that really helps get the word out about the Growing for You campaign that we're running right now. And we like to say with the Growing for You campaign that every dollar matters. Like, we would like the whole community to be involved in that, whether it's $1 or $5. We just really want the community to, you know, join together and support this campaign. But yeah, even if you just have time to volunteer, we are grateful for that.
And you can find something for everyone.
Absolutely.
Right? If you want to lend your hands or your mind, mm-hmm. they'll find you something to do down there.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's talk about the Growing for You campaign. What is this campaign? Mr. Sinclair, I'll go over to you.
All right. Well, Growing for You, really, I think it came about because of the way mental health and the needs around mental health have been there for a long time. You know, our chief executive officer, Mike McCafferty, would talk to really whoever would listen the last three decades, certainly since I've been there, about the needs around mental health. And then, you know, COVID really brought that out. The pandemic really brought out some of those, you know, mental health needs and throughout the whole community, you know, the pressure that it certainly places on families, on schools, on, again, the local entities that Ada talked about, our senior center, the hub, on our law enforcement, on our court systems, on all of this pressure that's out there. And then there was really an opportunity. Our board of trustees and leadership looked at what would it cost to build a behavioral health center. And that cost, you know, 4 or 5 years ago was over $30 million, like $32.5 million for a new behavioral health center. And that's just not possible, feasible for the hospital or the community. And so our leadership team took a look at what could they do to repurpose space, come up with a different plan, and really cut those costs in half. And because of that, repurposing underutilized space within the hospital, it really is impacting not only mental health, but these different phases to prepare for the behavioral health unit meant other units within the hospital really are getting an upgrade. And it impacts our pharmacy was the first move. Pharmacy was located in an area that really was a potential for patient care area. And so our pharmacy team helped develop a really wonderful pharmacy for our hospital patients that's now in the lower level of the hospital. That opened up space for a pediatric unit. So the updated new pediatric unit will be open here in March.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Pretty amazing. Yeah, and to see, you know, that we have a pediatric unit and we have pediatricians here, that's amazing for a community our size to have that kind of support for our kiddos. And then
that move of the pediatric unit allowed for more of the medical surgical rooms that we still need for acute care for patients. And then that will allow the behavioral health unit to be built there in the front of the hospital. It's that northwest wing of the hospital that's right along Fifth Street. And the other piece of this is an update to the emergency department. So that growing for you is really all of these things that have to come together to take care of this community. And this was centered around developing more mental health resources for our community.
I think that's fantastic. One idea. Someone says, you know what, we're gonna go forward with this. Everyone come together. Almost like a family in the house. Mm-hmm. We got to move in a new kid, and we got to figure out what we're going to do. So everybody figure out what we're going to do with our stuff. But it made the other departments better, more efficient, better use of space, and then even opened up areas. For I think that's incredible. Absolutely. So this is quite the progression. Mm-hmm. Now, I guess the idea for the entire thing developed over the course of, what, 5-6 years?
Yeah, it really, I mean, it's been on, I think, people's mind. It's, but what do you do? And really, there's a lot of resource that's utilized throughout our whole community for mental health. And we have some great providers and people, you know, I think those partnerships that we're seeing formed right now with our local VA and the Volunteers of America and local providers, case managers, our law enforcement, you know, it really expands down into Johnson County. And the Johnson County Hospital and county commissioners and law enforcement down there, because it's really a regional, you know, a regional issue. But it really is that partnership and that collaboration that Sheridan is known for, or our region is known for. People work together. They don't, you know, it's not siloed like a lot of other places. People come to the table. We had just recently what we called a mental health collaborative, where people from throughout the community came together to talk about what's happening right now with mental health, what are some of the challenges that we're facing, and start to really dive into, you know, how do we utilize all our resources to the best possible level to care for the community.
And what are those discussions like up at the leadership, the large leadership meeting levels, where suddenly now where it was the Sheridan region is managed by Sheridan Memorial Hospital? Well, we open up this behavioral health wing. This is going to be quite possibly northwest or north central Wyoming is going to be serviced by this wing alone. I imagine that's been considered, where, as you said before, Johnson County, maybe parts of Campbell, maybe other counties start sending their people here.
Yeah, and I think there's also the idea that in Sheridan, Sheridan has done a really great job with innovation and leadership. So there's, I think, an idea that we want to really take on this challenge and show other regions of Wyoming how to do it well. And so we can't be everything for the whole state. And we're fortunate that, you know, Campbell County has some of these mental health resources. But for our area, if we can really show how this collaboration could work and the model that we're looking at to really provide care in our community, in a way that keeps people here, that's going to actually help the rest of the state as well, because the state hospital and some of the other, you know, mental health resources throughout the state are also really stressed, and it's hard to find care when you need that. If you need residential mental health care, that's really challenging. If we can take care of more people here locally, that would free up more of the state hospital and like Wyoming Behavior Institute in Casper. And we're the work that's happening right now at Sheridan Memorial Hospital is not building a residential facility here. It's really building the ability to care for mental health with a clinic setting and what we call a crisis stabilization unit, where it's a less than 24 hours, but we're really just taking care of someone, getting them their needs, getting them, you know, really stabilized in that care plan put together. And that reduces the need to send people out of our community. You know, we do have a plan for inpatient, for 6 beds for inpatient care, but that's not a residential facility.
Not like a super long-term type of thing.
Right.
I mean, we'll be able to take care of our 72-hour holdovers.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be able to help someone in crisis. They can walk right in off the street and say, mm-hmm. I am not having a good day, mm-hmm. and I need some help. When it comes to anything more long-term,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be limited, but there.
Well, and I think one of the goals of, you know, this program and campaign is to reduce those Title 25 involuntary holds by providing care. It's remarkable that already we have a behavioral health clinic started, and just an amazing physician, Dr. Michael Kinney, was hired this past fall and started a clinic, and already has seen over 100 patients
wow.
in just a short period starting in December.
That's a testament to the need, mm-hmm. isn't it?
It is, and I think you know, connecting our resources is really important because we don't want to duplicate services, and that's important that we don't have duplication of services, that we coordinate with other providers in our community for referral networks and support in that way, and that I know, you know, Dr. Kinney and his team are really working in our emergency department as well to make sure that when someone comes to the emergency department with a mental health challenge, that they are really supported and connected with resources.
Liz, when we look at where we're at in the campaign itself, mm-hmm. what's our status?
Our status, like financially?
No, where are we at?
Okay. As Cody was saying, with construction phase-wise, we're just in that phase 2 of 3, and so it's really coming along nicely and accordingly. So that's just been really fun to watch and see the space being reutilized and updated. As far as the numbers go, we had to kind of reevaluate. I think the last time we were here, we had a goal. I think of like 15 million.
I want to say it was 15.
Yeah. And so we achieved that goal. But unfortunately, we had to up the goal a bit because of the inflationary costs of the last phase of the behavioral health unit.
It's hitting everybody, isn't it?
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. We kind of anticipated that, though. So we're still very excited. And there's a lot of people that we would love to talk to about this project still. So we're roughly a little over 900,000 left to raise to hit our final goal. So.
You know, that sounds like a lot, but I've seen what you people could do, and I don't think that's too much ground to cover, but it is still ground to cover.
It is.
$900,000. Mm-hmm. So in total, how much has been raised for the effort so far?
We've raised about,
17.
Yeah.
Total with all that. And that includes some of the funds that were available through the state. So our state had some funds that had to be matched initially. So $6.4 million was provided by state funding that was matched by our community and some amazing partners. And so this last little bit, we're just excited to get everybody involved, I think, as Liz and Ada both mentioned earlier. And you asked about techniques. One of our favorite things is to give tours. It's so much fun to give tours and have people at the hospital. It's wonderful when somebody says, I haven't needed the hospital. That's a great thing. But we love to show people what is there should you need the hospital. And so
sometimes, you don't know you need it until you need it.
Right. Yeah.
But, but we've had a lot of people come in and just, I think, amazed at what's happened over the last few years and to see the changes and to see where we are as far as the project goes. It's exciting.
We need to get you up there, Floyd.
Yeah, I should go up and take a tour. Yeah. Huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a while since I've gotten to go up there and see you guys anyway. Used to have weekly meetings. It was actually quite nice to sit down and speak with them. I dare say we all became friends.
Yes.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun.